Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Kim Phillips, the Development Coordinator at the Greenville Literacy Association. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. It's been a while since I've had Greenville Literacy Association on, and I was just thinking the other day, that book sale's got to be coming around again soon.
Oh, yeah, it's creeping up.
It's creeping up, and we're going to talk about that, but I want to start with the first question that I normally ask, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Tell us about the Greenville Literacy Association, just for those of us who don't know about it.
Greenville Literacy Association has been around over 50 years, and they've been serving the Greenville County community in ESL, English as a Second Language, mm-hmm. helping folks get their GED, adult basic education, and a myriad of other things.
Tell us about your history with Greenville Literacy Association. You were telling me before the show you've been there 17 years?
No. This is the 17th year for the sale. This will be my 12th sale.
Your 12th sale. So
yes.
You've been there 12 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Then. And I've been back in the back where all the books come in and things like that for 11 years. And this year, they moved me to the front. And
okay.
So this year, I get to play up in the front where there's air conditioning. And I'm not dusty and sweaty at the end of my day.
Right. Now, Greenville Literacy Association, a lot of times when people hear the word literacy, they think of complete illiteracy. Can't read, can't write. And no. I know that that's something that you hear public service announcements and things like that from the Ad Council, you know, encouraging people to learn that sort of stuff. How big a problem is that sort of illiteracy in society these days?
I think it's bigger than most people realize. We do get all levels of literacy. And I think what people forget is that it starts at home. Mm-hmm. And they have to be willing to ask for the help. And so sometimes it'll be the person, not the person who can't read, but the person who wants to help them learn to read, to
right.
bring them in. And there's all levels. We'll get all, that's one of the things that we do when they come to say, hey, I want to learn to read or I want to get my GED, is we test them to see where they are.
Okay.
So that, 'cause each program is personalized because we're not a cookie cutter society.
Right.
And so we want the student that's coming in, we get all ages too, which is pretty fantastic. We want them to get the help they need. You know, so we test them to see where they're reading, see where they're writing, and then see what they need to do to get to where they want to be. Because everybody's end game is not the same.
Right.
You know, for some people, they want to just be able to read to enjoy. But, you know, a lot of the folks that are coming in, they're working towards their GED so that they can go to college, or they're working towards something to help them in their job. And so it's pretty interesting.
Part of the reason that I ask that is because I wonder, literacy is the kind of thing that those who can read, can write, really take for granted. You know, I mean, it's just something you do automatically by rote.
Yeah.
And I wonder how people who don't have that kind of advantage function in society. My slight digression, my grandfather had Alzheimer's disease. And one of the things that I learned about that, especially in the early stages, is that you realize that you don't know something or somebody that you should, and so you fake it. You realize that you should know it, but you don't, and so you pretend that you do, and you can get by with a lot doing that. And I imagine it's the same way with reading and writing, there may be a certain amount of embarrassment, you know, with not being able to read or write, and that they've found ways to compensate for it.
Smartphones.
There you go.
You can talk to your smartphone and say, where is this or where is that, or, you know, dial this person. So if you have someone who's already put the phone numbers in your phone and things like that, you don't have to know.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's, you know, you compensate, and they always have. And, you know, I think that we find, especially our older people that come in, they worked in mills, you know, they might have been, had a rural, you know, upbringing, and sure. so they didn't have the advantages. And then with our the folks that are trying to get their GED, they were just passed and just passed and passed, yeah. and so they, you know, they just stopped coming. And so now they, you know, they come here and we try and help them.
Well, and you mentioned the technology that we have. A lot of times we think of these technological advancements, voice activation, you know, voice recognition, that kind of thing, as conveniences for people. But I wonder if, like I mentioned that, you know, you hear PSAs about the, you know, the problem of illiteracy and learning to read and write, yeah. getting your GED, things like that. But I wonder if we don't kind of send a mixed message as a society with you know, icons on cash registers instead of instead of words.
Yeah, you don't have to know what a burger is. You just push the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, it's, it's a problem, and it's not going away.
Well, and that I guess is my question is how much is illiteracy a societal problem rather than an individual problem?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that question.
Fair enough. But it's interesting to contemplate.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things that I did want to talk about, and you mentioned, is that that you have all ages. The illiteracy, I should say, is not just a problem for young people. It's not just the 15-year-old high school dropout yeah. for whatever reason is not still in school and hasn't completed their education.
Yeah, it was this week I was walking through the office and I was hearing this gentleman read. And so I'm nosy. And so he was in the library, and so I just kind of did the corner and walked through, and it was a gentleman. He was probably in his 60s, mm-hmm. and his tutor was sitting right next to him, and they had pages spread out, and they were walking through word by word, and you could see how hard he was working mm-hmm. to get those words, to know what that meant. And I'm just sitting here thinking, that's so awesome, you know, to sit there and realize that this man was able to put away the embarrassment to say, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I want mm-hmm. to learn yeah. how to read. I want to know what this word says. And I just am like, wow, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one facet of what GLA does, but it's a very important facet.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing. I've had people come up to me at the sale and say, I shop at our sale, at your sale every year because you taught my grandfather to
wow.
read. And I'm just, you know, we just take that so for granted
yeah.
that I can just pick this paper up that's sitting in front of me and I can recognize every word in front of me. That's a gift we take for granted. And I'm glad that we're here so that we can help those that do want to know how can I do that?
Yeah.
And they do some group classes, but sometimes most of that is done one-on-one. You know.
And it's fascinating to hear about those sorts of legacy, you know, people that you've got, you know, that they have somebody, they've already known how to read and write, but somebody in their family
yeah.
didn't, and GLA was able to help them.
There's a program we have or that we partner with, works with parents and their kids, because a lot of times mm-hmm. kids,
yeah.
they're getting it at school, and so they're giving books to parents so that the kids are helping them. And they're helping
oh, really?
Their children to learn to read. They're kind of working together.
Well, and that leads into another thing that you've kind of mentioned, but I feel like we should talk about, is that we've mentioned that one of the facets is helping people who can't read or write at all.
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing that GLA does.
Oh, no.
You guys, you mentioned GED.
I think GED is probably our biggest.
Okay.
We call it adult basic education. And basically, we get a lot of dropouts. And all ages mm-hmm. of that,
yeah.
that for one reason or another, they had to go to work or whatever, they stopped their education. And so we have 32 graduates, 32 guys so far in our fiscal year that have gotten their GED. And we just had our graduation last week, I think, or week before that. And so we do GED, GED prep.
Mm-hmm.
We do citizenship, if someone's trying to get their citizenship.
Sure.
ESL, which is English as a second language.
That's
another really big set part of GLA.
And that's another one that I wanted to mention specifically, because with so many different cultures that come to America, people might be literate in their own language,
yep.
but the predominant language in America is English. And if
yes.
you can't read or write English, you're at a severe disadvantage.
Yes. That's why I have Google Translate on my phone. When I've sat at the front desk and people walk in and you think automatically they're going to be speaking Spanish, but they don't. We have them that come in speaking Spanish and some of the Arab languages and Korean and a lot of the other, you know, different Asian language, Chinese, Japanese.
Sure.
And that's interesting. And they are all ages too coming in. You get the younger ones that want to learn English, but you get them all up into the senior citizen age, which is wonderful. You know, I think that, you know, they come in classes, they bond as a group. And even the teachers and the tutors that do that are excited to help them learn English.
Right.
And sometimes they're excited to learn that other language.
Right, right. And I know I did an interview a while ago. It's been a while now with the International Association. I know they have classes for people learning other languages. You know, native speakers can teach English speakers their language, and native English speakers can teach, you know, other people how to speak English. Do you do any partnership with International Association or any other organizations?
I know that we have one with the Hispanic Alliance.
Okay.
We work with all the other, like United Ministries, Miracle Hill.
Sure.
Greenville Tech's got some stuff. It's kind of a melting pot.
Yeah.
Because we all have to help one another. You know, they'll send us students. We send them students. And then we have SC Works will come and say, okay, hey, you know, someone needs to work on this, and they'll send them to us. And so it is a community effort. You know, we are not an island. You know, it takes everybody working together to help these, you know, your fellow man to get where they want to go.
Right.
And I think that's the best, that's the most exciting thing about Greenville Literacy and Greenville County is the fact that, you know, we aren't the only resource here. And we work together with others so that, you know, if we can't do what you need to do, we can help you find who you need to see, who you need to talk to.
Well, and I've done other interviews with Miracle Hill. You mentioned they focus on homelessness. Goodwill focuses on employing people and training people to take jobs. And it occurs to me that literacy is so important an aspect to all of those things. I mean, if you are illiterate, if you can't read or write, you're going to have a hard time holding a job.
Yep.
And if you have a hard time holding a job, you're going to have a hard time keeping a house.
Yep.
If you can't read a lease to sign the contract,
you have no idea what you're signing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a ripple.
Ripples. And so it's one of those things that you have the starting point of, can I read what's in front of me? And if I can read what's in front of me, then everything else kind of ripples out from that. And I mean, it's a quality of life issue. You know, how reading affects your quality of life.
Yeah.
And being able to write your name and knowing what you're writing. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. You mentioned that Greenville Literacy Association has been around for 50 years, I think you said?
53. They started in 1965.
Wow.
Yeah. We've been here a long time.
And you've been with the organization 12 years. Mm-hmm. How has the organization changed over just the last dozen years you've been with it?
Oh, wow. You have to adapt. That's one of the things I've seen, especially with funding and things like that, because we're not the only fish in the sea, you know, everybody's, you know, needs funding. And so how we do that has changed dramatically. You know, we can't just say, oh, we're just going to do this or write grants.
Right.
You know, for this, you know, we have an Amazon store.
Really?
Yes, we do. We have the book sale. We have the bee.
I was going to ask you about that. That was just a few months ago,
yes.
I think. I remember getting a note in my email that that you know said it's coming up, and I thought, oh, I should have GLA on to talk about this. And as it happened, I already had too many interviews booked, and I wasn't going to be able to get you on before the event. But I'd like to hear about it after the fact. How did it go?
I was not there.
Okay.
Eleanor, who's having twins, was there.
Congratulations, Eleanor.
Yeah, I know.
She's been a guest on here before.
Oh, she's fantastic, and I hate that she's not here helping me. But that's her baby.
Right.
And the funniest thing for me was the different names. Well, the one that sticks in my head is the Philanthropies.
Philanthropies. The names of the teams.
Every team had their own name. And so it was a lot of fun. It looked like a lot of fun. That's why I have spell check on my, you know, everything I have, because I am not a good speller.
I understand.
But it's just one of those things I think we've had to look at, you know, if we're going to keep GLA's doors open, how are we going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because technology is changing, how do we help our students, you know, use that technology to help them get further? So it's one of those things, not getting stuck in, this is the way we've always done it. If you can say, okay, we've done it this way, but maybe there's a better way. And we've tried to do that. I'm not sure that we're always successful, but we sure do try to be. And there's always more than one way to look at it. You know, mm-hmm. how, you know, that's why Amazon, that's why we right. were doing everything through just the book sale as far as the books. But we get a lot of books that have value. And so, oh, how long have we been on Amazon? 6 years, I think, we've been on
really,
Amazon.
Really, that long?
Yes. And you can actually, even if you don't, you know, shop at our book sale site on Amazon, you can actually help GLA through Amazon Smiles program.
Yes.
And so GLA is on there. And so if you look for, if you shop and you go through, that's just, and, it's just another avenue for someone else to help us
and out. And for those who don't know, I'm familiar with this. If you go to, instead of just going to Amazon.com, mm-hmm. you go to Smile, smile.amazon.com, and you can pick an organization yep. to donate to. Whenever you purchase something from Amazon, a portion of that purchase, Amazon donates to that organization that you've chosen. Yep. And there's all manner of organizations just around yep. here in the Upstate
oh,
that,
yeah,
that can benefit
there's
from
a
that.
Lot. It's really awesome. I had not been aware of it existing for, you know, just the last couple of years. And we actually got a check in the mail this week from Amazon for that.
Really?
It wasn't a huge check, but hey, it's like right. one of those things. It's like I tell everybody, every little bit counts.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Every little bit helps.
Yep.
And so if nothing else, that's a way for listeners to help donate to GLA yep. is just by going to smile.amazon.com. And it's very easy. Amazon, the website is great. They yeah. walk you right through it. You just pick your organization, yeah. and then whenever you buy something from Amazon, it makes a donation.
Yeah, and our biggest push right now starts now, is our book drive. We
right.
get, right now, we usually put out about 140,000 books every sale. And over half of those books are collected in a 7-week period of time.
Wow.
Yeah, because we take books all year at the McAllister Square location, Monday through Friday, 9
that's
to 4. 10,
that's 10,000 books a week.
Yeah.
Over those 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. But that's, I mean, as far as the Greenville community is, that's where they can really help us, at least for between, I think, June 11th through July 27th. We have donation sites.
Okay.
Right now, actually, you can take everything to McAllister Square location. But if you go on our website, there is a list of areas, businesses in the community that okay. are going to have a donation box right there in their entryways, banks. I think we have one Starbucks, Whole Foods. There's a, you know, there's a list. But that's really where the community just really – every year they do this. Every year we get about 70,000 books plus.
Which is amazing. I mean, it'd be impressive if you guys did that once.
Yeah.
But this is every year you mm-hmm. do that. Every year for,
yeah.
for 12 years now, or 17, I guess.
Yeah.
The 12 years that you've been there and five yeah. more. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of books yeah. come through. How do you handle it all?
One at a time.
Okay.
I tell when I was doing my training for the volunteers. We have volunteers that work all year. But then we have a group of volunteers that come in just during the summer. And I always tell them, when you're looking, don't worry about all the books that are sitting over in a bin that you've got to take care of. What's the book in front of you?
Yeah.
You know, does it need to be cleaned? Does it need to have the paper taken out of it?
Sure.
We find some interesting things in books. But, you know, just that book right there, you clean it, price it, and then we put it on a shelf. And it's one of those things that setup week is my favorite week of the year. It's like giving birth, because you've worked on this thing all year long,
yeah,
and
yeah.
this is the culmination of
yeah.
that. And then, you know, when the Saturday morning sale starts and you see the hordes of people coming through, up to 15,000 people over the weekend come to the sale. And to see them, it's just amazing. And mm-hmm. knowing why, you know, with what they're buying, what that helps us do.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
I was going to say that seems like, I mean, it'd be one thing to see that many people in a room with that many books, you know, shopping, but it's got to have even a different cue to it mm-hmm. for somebody like you, because you yeah. know what's going to happen after all that.
Well, it's one of the things. I know the difference that makes, that that book that they pick up for a dollar, or the pile they take up and they spend, you know, we take credit cards, so people buy more. I know what that will mean to a student who gets to come to class mm-hmm. and to, you know, to be able to keep the lights on. I just, you know, I think people, you know, forget that, hey, yeah. it's a book sale. That's fantastic. But the reason behind the book sale is just as awesome.
Yeah.
You know, to know that, you know, these, we're helping our community be better, do better. And, you know, we are, Greenville is growing. It's unbelievably growing. And that gives us more people to help.
In the upstate, yeah. And we've danced around it. We probably ought to talk about it before we run out of time here. The really good, really big, really cheap book sale. I think I've got those in the right order.
Yes, I always mess that order up. It's awful.
I've done it a few times, but I think that's right. The really good, really big, really cheap book sale. Accepting donations now, you said.
Yes.
You've got a big push coming up in June and July.
For
donations. And then the book sale is actually when?
The book sale is August 11th. That is the Saturday. And we have a preview party on August 10th, which is a ticketed event. That link should be up on our website pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday is kind of the, I call it the discount day, where you can get a paper bag and fill that bag for $10. Because we want them to take all the books home.
Yes.
We would like to not have to touch the books again. So
right.
Please take them home.
I got you.
You know, so it's a lot of fun. The hours are 8:30 to 4:00. On Saturday, mm-hmm. and 1 to 4 on Sunday.
Okay, 8:30 to 4 on Saturday, and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Yes.
on Sunday. And that's August 11th and 12th, mm-hmm. you said. And the ticketed event, tell us what that's like. What's it like to be there on the night?
It's a lot of people come because it's not the crush
mm-hmm.
of folks. There's like light hors d'oeuvres. Excuse me, I can't say that word.
Hors d'oeuvres. I'll help you.
Thank you very much. And stuff to drink, but it's a party. It's a party. It's music. It's, you know, it's not. There's usually about 400 or so folks instead of 15,000 folks.
Right.
You know, and so it's a little bit more laid back. The ticket prices are $35 for a single and $60 for a couple.
Okay.
You can buy those online. If you buy them at the door, I know the price is a little higher, but I'm not sure what that is yet. But it's fun.
Fair enough. And the website, we should mention, greenvilleliteracy.org.
And that will have all your event information as far as times, dates. They're going to have a link up pretty soon for volunteering for setup day of sale. That'll be up in the next couple of weeks. And I've gotten to know a lot of our volunteers that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome. And, you know, the sale, it's important. You know, it's important that we have it. It's important that we're able to do it because of what it does. You know, if someone's going to get a really good deal on a book, that's outstanding. But somebody else is going to be able to get their education.
Yeah.
That's even more outstanding.
It is. Well, and speaking of really good deals, I know in the past you've done an early bird special on Saturday. Is it doing that again this year?
Yeah, that's at 7:30.
Okay.
And it's $10 to get in. They stamp your hand. So you get, you know, like an hour ahead of time from everybody else.
You get to look first.
Yes, you do. And it is so much fun. If you've ever been to McAllister Square, it's like a cross, like a cross. In the center is a stage. And I always get on the stage before the doors open because I love to see the running people.
Yes.
And it's just
that rush of humanity.
You know they're excited. You know they're hoping to find whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I just find that amazing. And I just love it.
So the really good, really big, really cheap book sale coming up August 11th and 12th. You can get tickets for the August 10th pre-party, evening soiree, at greenvilleliteracy.org. You can also find more information on donating either money or books or time if you want to volunteer through that website, greenvilleliteracy.org. Kim Phillips, the development coordinator for the Greenville Literacy Association, has been my guest today. Thank you very much for being here, Kim.
I really appreciate you having me on.
It's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.